Welcome back to Beat Seeker. I'm your host, Matt McButter. In each episode, we explore the shifting world of music with world-renowned experts and artists to take you deep, deep inside the fascinating and changing world of music technology and music discovery.
And I'm your host, Mike Weider, reminding you to subscribe in Apple Podcasts and give us a five-star rating if you like the episode. You can visit our website at beatseeker.fm, where you'll find plenty of rabbit holes with extra content to dive into, guest backgrounds, and even a playlist with music recommendations from each of our guest episodes. Also, BeatSeeker swag. You can stay current and talk to us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at BeatSeekerPod. Music is an important tool for sports teams to get fans and players amped for a game. The tunes need to rock the arena to keep the energy high, and a DJ needs to pick the right song to match each game situation. We wondered what it must be like to be a pro sports DJ. What's involved in preparing, and what's it like to spin tunes for the big game? Taking us behind the scenes is music producer and DJ Cale Grinton.
Cale has worked alongside some of Canada's top musical talents, including Classified, Cardinal Offishall, and Alexis on Fire, and he's resident DJ at Drake's private members-only Sure Club. He's provided music for the Toronto Raptors and Toronto's FC MLS soccer team. Cale is also the official DJ for the Toronto Maple Leafs, where he spins for 20,000 Leaf fans at the Scotiabank Arena. I even got to meet up with Cale and check out his sweet setup overlooking a recent Leafs game. Cale, thanks so much for joining us on Beat Seeker.
Thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
So Cale, you're the DJ for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I'm sure this is a complete dream job for a lot of people. I mean, that would be my dream job. I love tunes. I love hockey. Like, what a cool gig. How did you land this gig?
Well, actually, I began as a club DJ for many years, actually, and kind of worked my way into it. I wouldn't say by accident, but my time DJing with Brock University actually kind of trained me for this position, not knowing that I would be doing it. There was actually a basketball tournament at Brock that we did on a Sunday. And after the tournament, the Badgers had a game and my friend was playing on in the team. And I was also friends with the coach. And he asked me if I wanted to keep my stuff set up for the basketball game. And I was like, sure, I was going to watch the game anyway, so might as well. And I just played all the tunes that I would want to hear if I was in the basketball game or as a fan. And the refs and everyone loved it so much. And the players, the athletic director at the time of Brock actually told me that they didn't really have a position for the DJ in the past. But if I was willing to work on the scores table and take the same pay as the scorekeeper and the announcer, they could have me every game. And I ended up doing men's and women's basketball and eventually women's volleyball for Brock. And that kind of trained me to play music outside of the club and in a sports arena setting. And
that's
because
cool.
I love sports so much, I actually kind of ran with it because,
And how did you catch the attention then of the Maple Leafs coming from Brock?
Well, actually, it's kind of a long story, but I actually used to come up to Toronto and DJ every couple times a month. I was from Niagara, of course, and I used to come up to Niagara and spend some time. I would pop into Real Sports Bar, actually. It was like a really cool bar that at the time it had just opened. And they would usually be showing one of the games, hockey or basketball, around that 8 p.m. time that I would arrive to the city. And I actually was having dinner one day before the club, and I went up to the DJ that was there, and I gave him some tunes that I thought would be good for that venue. And we traded tunes, and some time actually passed. I think about a year and a half had passed. And I got a message on Twitter from him saying, hey, a position to open up, a DJ position to open up. If you're interested, you know, come up and have a meeting. And so I came up and it was actually entertainment supervisor position where I was doing a lot more than just DJing, but it was enough of an offer for me to consider moving to Toronto. And the cool thing about that venue was that I got to play music before and after the game for give or take 1,000 people at least every game night.
Mm-hmm. It's a big venue for people that haven't seen it. I mean, is it still there? Real Sports?
Yeah, still there, still bumping.
It's massive. It's a big place.
At one point, I believe it was the biggest sports bar in North America. And, you know, I was just so happy to be able to be close to the arena. When they opened, actually, I think I remember having the thought of, wow, it'd be so cool to DJ like close to the arena, you know, like somewhere just attached to the arena. It was a cool feeling, you know, as like a young DJ coming up, I wanted to, you know, it was a cool thought to be close to them. And so, yeah.
The athletic
director for Barack actually wrote a letter of recommendation saying what I had added to their program. And that kind of maybe solidified me getting in with those guys.
And then how did you make the leap then next door from, you know, the 1,000-person club at right next door at Real Sports into the arena?
I believe, I was there for about 3 years, you know, DJing before and after each game. And I think, I mean, on any given night, I would give away on average 5 to 10 business cards at least of people just coming up to me saying, hey, you're a really good DJ. Like, can I get your contact info? Can I get your contact info? And I guess enough people coming over and hearing me and
one of those with the right person eventually.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And so you built a rep. I mean, it seems like it's also, it's music, you know, like a lot of your selections are working with that, with the sports fan crowd, right? Because Real Sports is people, a lot of people are coming like pre-game or post-game or even during the game who don't have tickets. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I always wanted to give that arena feeling. I was almost DJing as if I was in the arena already before I came over there because I had all those tracks from Brock. And the songs I would play during the games there, and as an athlete myself, and knowing what hypes me up, helped as far as being able to hype up a large audience that is either watching the game or getting ready to watch the game or just finished watching the game as well.
Sweet. So I mean, it must be still a pretty big difference, like DJing in a club versus the sports arena with all the fans and everything. Which one is more fun for you?
Oh man, I love everything that I do when it comes to music, whether I'm in the studio just collecting it or working on a remix or in the club or in the game. I'm blessed that all of my different types of gigs are different. Like even the types of clubs that I DJ are really different. And being an open format style DJ has really allowed me to do so many different types of venues and clubs because I could go very deep into any genre and play to any audience. You know, I would feel comfortable playing to any audience in any crowd in the world, to be honest, based on my broad music scope of.
That's super cool. So at the game, it seems to me like there might be kind of, you know, two audiences a little bit, right? There's the players and then there's the fans or the audience. Or do you kind of, does that factor into your thinking? Do you kind of think, oh, I'm kind of playing for the players, playing for the audience, or do you consider it kind of one, you know, one group that you're playing for?
I'd definitely say it's a balance of catering to the mass audience, the as many people as I can touch and reach with the selections. You know, I want to always be pleasing the players and always be pleasing the crowd as well at the same time. So I'm conscious of what everyone wants and try my best, of course, to please everyone, you know. And I think there's times when I may not be able to please every single person, but as long as I'm pleasing the majority of the people, that's a win, I would say, because everyone has different tastes in music.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, you know, I mean, when you think about traditionally, hockey games have had a very consistent music set list. I'm thinking lots of organ with a sprinkling of We Will Rock You and some standard rock jams. You know, you've really expanded the set list to span more genres and types of music. Can you walk us through kind of how you think about putting your sets together?
Yeah, that's a good question, actually. Well, I do really enjoy breaking new records and playing new records for people. So I really try to push the envelope of what I think would work in the stadium. And every day when I wake up and go through my music selecting process, I sift through hundreds of records daily, all the new stuff, stuff that I heard maybe out that I Shazammed and I wanted to get that record. And I'm like, oh, this sound good in the stadium. So I always really pride myself on finding those new records that make me feel something. And all the music I have that I've collected over the years is to me good music. Whether regardless of the genre, a song or a record that made me feel something, you know, and for me, if it makes me feel something good, I want to keep that record because then I could find a application for that record, whether it's at the game or in the club, that makes that person feel something, you know. And if it's a brand new record that I heard first, I really enjoy finding that record first and being the first one to play it for a large audience and allow them the opportunity to feel the feelings that I felt when I grabbed that record.
So you're constantly like collecting a list of candidates or songs that you are in your little back catalog of library and then sort of saying, okay, how do I pull this out and, you know, put this into one of my sets?
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's a perfect moment for each song that's created, right? And my job is to kind of find where are those moments for that song. How would that song fit in that moment? You know, sometimes the game script even changes where I might have some songs lined up and then it gets really intense and I gotta audible and go to another crate of music that I had for that intense hype moment.
We want to talk to you about the in-game situation, but maybe just before that, we were talking just before we were recording about today is game day for you, and you have a certain prep process that starts in the morning all the way up until when the puck drops. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, what that process looks like? Like, what are you doing to prep for each session?
Well, to be honest, I'm such a music geek that I lied about it starting in the morning when I wake up. It actually starts when I get home from the previous game.
Okay.
I get home
You're
from
always
the
on.
Game. And
yeah.
I have I usually have a couple songs in my prepare list that I didn't get to play at that game. So I'll make sure that I get in those songs that I didn't get to play last game. And if we have a situation where it's a 5-game homestand, for example, on the 5th game here, I want to make sure that tonight's music is relatively new and different than the last game's music. So I always try to, after each game, I'm not going to play any as least amount of songs from the last game. I want to try to keep it as fresh and as new as I can and have a good percentage of new music for each game. Let alone when we have a couple back-to-backs. I like to keep it different and fresh for the players as well as the season ticket holders and the people who are there all the time as well.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you know, you were talking about in the game, in the moment. I can only imagine there's a ton of different situations happening in every game. You know, you've got your warm-up, you've got penalties, penalty kills, fights, tense moments, overtime. Like, how do you juggle all this? Like, and decide what to play for each moment and sort of how much of this, you know, might come down from your team or the venue, or is this just all you?
Well, I like to, in the game situation, I love to have a whole bunch of different things ready to go. So I'll have a prepare folder in my laptop ready to go where all through the game, I'm in my laptop just searching and thinking of songs that I'm feeling and what might be good for that moment. And I throw everything in that prepare folder. And at any time, I could go a different direction with the song and decide, okay, this one for this moment, I'm going to play this one in the third. Maybe I'll play this one in intermission because it's a more chill song, you know, or I'll have a new song from an artist that I really want to try and break. So I'll make sure that I try to get that song in. And I think it's just the ability of being able to have any song ready at any time. It's funny, people sometimes say, oh, you get to watch every game. That's so cool. And actually, the truth of it is I maybe watch 50% of the game because the other half of the game, I'm in my laptop typing, searching, thinking about getting my songs ready and queued up for the next whistle. Because sometimes they could happen so quick and you got to be ready on the fly real quick.
Yeah, I can That's only so imagine cool. like you're juggling all this and you have to be able to be really quick because you don't have much time, right, to be able to play here. And so you've got to have, and the game is always changing. Like unlike a club set, right, where you could maybe queue up a bunch of stuff, you got a lot more time to sort of select things, whereas probably speed is an important factor.
And it's kind of the same thing I do in the club, in the game. You know, people ask me, like, do you prepare your set fully before you get to the club or before the game? And I really don't. I have everything super organized in my folders and in my crates that we, as a DJ, would call it. And I know where everything is and how to access it quickly. But I never like to pre-plan too much because I don't want it to be the same and I don't want it to be predictable. So I always, have to be able to type really quick. I tell the young DJs I'm teaching, you know, how are your typing skills? Because sometimes you got to have a song queued up and in your deck within a couple seconds, you know. And what I do in the club, sometimes I play the song and I sit back and I think to myself, okay, what song do I want to hear next? Like, what song do I want to hear right now? Or even when the gameplay is going on, I'm like, what's a good song for the next whistle based on how everyone's feeling, based on the scope of the game? And, sometimes I'll think of those songs all through the game.
And so some of those, are sort of standard. I've noticed being at games, like when there's maybe, penalty or on the penalty kill, a couple of situations,
we have a couple songs situationally that will play in those certain situations.
Yeah.
You know, our power play song, a song for the skate out, a song for right before the main puck drop, which we will change up throughout the season sometimes. But there are some set songs that we will play, each game.
Yeah, the good old hockey game.
Yeah, right? Yeah, the classics, that have to get in, and Jimmy's organ prompts, like we like to get everything in that needs to get in.
I noticed they stopped doing Neil Diamond's Caroline, which they had done for years, and that one they seem to pull that out.
Cool that we have some songs we could make our own for the city of Toronto. I like to play a lot of Toronto artists. There's a huge group of Toronto talent coming up right now, thanks to all the other great Canadian artists that have been kind of paving the way for the Toronto music scene and the Canadian music scene to boom. And when other teams come to Toronto, I try to showcase a little bit of Toronto to everyone else that's listening and let them know that this is Toronto. This is our music. This is our scene. This is what we like. And
amazing.
Let people kind of feel the city.
So I'm not going to ask you about the choice, the goal song, because I know that's a controversial, bit of a controversial issue. There's people on both sides of that, and it's played out a little bit in the media right now. So I will ask you though, what you think of, I'd read in this one article that the Washington Capitals this year have started with a different goal song for each player. And for those who don't go to a lot of games or aren't familiar, don't watch a lot of games, most teams have a goal song, and the Leafs have a goal song right now. It's You Make My Dreams by Hall & Oates. And it's been that way for probably 5 or 6 years. And before that, there was an old German techno tune that they had for years. But what do you think of that idea? I thought that'd be kind of a cool thing. Would it be hard to do if because I guess you have to like figure out who scored the goal and really quickly, if it's like a new guy, does he have his, kind of thing. It's kind of like a walk-on song at baseball games. Each player has their walk-on song, but got a little bit more time there than, I guess, oh wait, who is that guy who's playing his first game? What's his song? I better find it quick and play his goal song.
I personally like the idea of a single song that the fans can relate to and sing along, and they know is coming when the goal happens. From a DJ perspective, it would be a little bit difficult to ask on headset who scored if I didn't quite see the number on the back of the jersey, and then having all those songs ready to play real quick as soon as the horn goes might be a little bit of a challenge, on top of also getting my whistle songs ready on a
you don't want to get it wrong either, right?
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing that just occurred to me is also it might be, they give the goal to the defenseman And so you play the defenseman's song and then like, you know, they review it and like they actually then credit it was tipped in by a forward. And so it's like, oh oops, we played the wrong song because we thought it was.
I could see there being some issues with that.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, finding the songs real quick and getting at them, you know, that's what I like to focus on. And, you know, sometimes I'll have a certain song ready and then something happens in the game that changes the mood or the script real quick. So I'll quickly have to X that and go with a different song for a different vibe. So that's something I really like to focus on and make sure that the song fits with the moment.
All right. So I'm going to ask you about this legendary game. It was, I think it was in the bubble, where you played 192 different tracks in a game. I can't remember who it was, maybe Columbus and someone. It went into five overtime, so that's probably why. But like, tell us about that.
Well, it's a good thing that I don't just have a grid of buttons that I hit with pre-selected songs, because then I would have ran out and had to continue repeating songs. Thankfully, I have a 900 gigabytes of music accessible at my fingertips. So I didn't actually run out of music, and I probably could have gone 10 periods.
10 variants, okay. There's a challenge.
I feel like I played three games in one, or six,
yeah.
or sorry, two games in one, but it was a lot. And it was cool. It was cool, though. The energy was super high. And, you know, I'd love to do a triple OT game again sometime. Quadruple
nice.
OT.
Nice. Yeah, that's wild. It just kind of started me thinking about, you know, what's your setup like? I mean, you know, I think a lot of our listeners, you know, play their music from SoundCloud or Spotify. A lot of them still have records. Like, obviously you're using, you know, you say you're typing a lot. So you've got some really quick song selection system. Is it like a custom setup or are you playing from software that listeners would be familiar with?
I actually use Serato DJ Pro. Pioneer has the best hardware for my craft. I think I would say most of the top DJs in the world are using Pioneer products. And I have two CDJs with a Pioneer mixer.
Yeah.
With a built-in interface that converts my MP3s as I'm playing them out. And
So it's a fairly standard setup that like a pro DJ, like a club DJ would be.
It is a club DJ setup in the arena. I believe some other arenas have less of a DJ software system where it's a screen where they just hit their hot cues and they have it all queued up. I preferred to, coming into the role, keep it as close to the style that I learned on, which is the club style of DJing, where you have your two turntables and your mm-hmm. mixer and your laptop and you're able to pick the songs.
And do you, you know, you talked a little bit about some of the other DJs. Is there like a community of sports DJs where you guys exchange ideas or even tracks? You know, where do you get your inspiration from?
That's an interesting question, actually. Someone added me to a Pro Sports DJs Facebook group a couple of years ago, and I didn't even know it existed, but there's a huge number of NFL, NHL, NBA, and even MLB DJs in a Facebook group that I was added to, and they do shoot back ideas and have conversations in it, and it's pretty cool actually.
That's awesome.
So I've got to connect actually with a lot of other NHL DJs and kind of listen to a little bit about what they're doing over there in their stadiums. And
that's really awesome. And so, I mean, speaking about kind of outside of, you know, the Leafs world or whatever, as a DJ playing for the Leafs, playing for 20,000 people, you know, night after night, you've got a lot of reach and, you know, you definitely have wielded some influence here. I noticed that you're credited with getting the song Bar Down added to EA's NHL, I think it was 21 video game. So tell us about that.
Well, the cool thing is I love good music. And when I'm searching for my music, I'll weed out anything that I don't think sounds good. I'll never just go and download the top 10 hit list. You know, I'll make my own top 10 hit list based on what I find. And sometimes I find a record that I just feel fits so good for certain applications, whether it's the club or the game. And I'll plug that record in with no real intentions other than playing a good record for the people, you know, and you know, sometimes I'll get a new record from someone and I just feel that it has to be played. A lot of people send me their stuff and I just don't feel it's ready and I'm not able to get it in. And I'll never play a record just because someone asked me to or someone gave it to me. I really have to feel the record and want to feel the record. And, you know, it helps the artist that makes a good record because I'll play it no matter what, you know. And people sometimes ask me, you know, how do I get my song played? I'm like, well, make something really good and I'll find it and I'll get it, you know, and I'll play it as long as it's up to my standard of what I want to hear and what I need. And thankfully, a lot of great artists send me their stuff. And, you know, bands, rappers, everyone sends me their stuff. And, you know, I get blessed with some gold records that, you know, and I think a lot of it is I have a lot of experience of, you know, deciding what records are a hit, what records are going to be a hit. You know, as soon as I hear a record, I'm like, oh, man, that's going to be a hit. I have a little bit of a gift of finding those, which I've added to my club sets over the years, you know. And helping breaking records, you know, mm-hmm. in all the different genres, you know. So once I hear it and I feel it's going to be a hit, you know, I'll play it in the stadium and I'll give it a chance, you know.
That's a big audience too, right? For you to be able to break something for, right? Like you're exposing potentially 20,000 people to a new track. It's cool.
It's actually a great pleasure. And I feel I'm doing a good service, not only for the artists, you know, by playing their songs in those moments, I'm actually, you know, also doing that good service for the fans and making them, you know, hear a good record, you know, and mm-hmm. and making them feel good. And if the record makes me feel good, I want the fans to feel good from that record too. And it's a blessing to be able to have that platform, to be honest, to play records, you know, whether it's on the radio or in the biggest nightclub in the city or at the 20,000 person, you know, sports venue. I love the blessing of being able to have those platforms to break records and put new artists on and you know, help the music scene in Toronto and in Canada and around the world.
Nice. And you've gotten some props, not just from, you know, a up and coming artist like that, but from Tiesto, one of the biggest DJs in the world, I think, gave you a shout out for playing his song. Is that true?
Yeah, that's definitely true. That was a cool moment for me, you know, because since being a kid, I look up to the big DJs and artists in the world. And, you know, thankfully, I have also the blessing of being able to play music for some high profile artists and celebrities whenever they come to the city. And it's cool to be able to play music for everyone. And, you know, like I said, I just play good music. I don't play Tiesto's track because it's Tiesto's track. I play Tiesto's track because it's a good track, you know. And he actually thanked me for playing his songs in the stadium, which was just a cool moment for me. I'm like, wow, this DJ who I look up to for years thinks that it's cool that I play his record. So, you know, it keeps me going to, like, I know I'm on the right track by playing good records, you know.
So yeah, was he at a game? Is that how that worked?
I think so. I know he's a hockey fan. He travels like crazy, I'm sure. So if he does make a stop in Toronto, I hope he comes to the hockey game.
Yeah. So
he's
so
welcome, Kale, anytime.
So Kale, what's next for you? As we said, you've already got a lot of people's dream job. You know, where do you go from here?
Well, you know, I look up to the guys like Tiesto and you know, I aspire to still be like them and kind of take the jump from just playing other people's music to playing my own records in the stadium, you know. And I've studied music production recently and kind of making the bridge from DJ to producer. And I'm mentoring and helping a lot of young upcoming artists right now as far as executive producing some tracks and helping artists connect with other producers and kind of within my own camp, kind of helping everyone win in the music industry by just not just being a great DJ, but kind of, you know, off the ice and outside of the club, really spending a lot of studio time perfecting my craft and designing my own sounds and kind of creating my own tracks that I could call my own original music and put up on iTunes. Stay tuned for those songs coming out.
Awesome.
But as of now, I've only pretty much just done remixes, and I'll make a lot of edits and mashups and blends. You know, we call them bootlegs when I don't have all the rights for everything, but I'll just take the sounds I like and kind of mash them together in my own way, especially during the warm-up, where I can kind of, you know, put my touch on it in the club and try to have that cool remix that nobody heard before because I made it, you know?
So we'll be listening for that. Yeah, we'll be listening for that, Kale. And so we'd like to ask all of our guests if they have a music recommendation. So can you give us something? We've got a guest picks playlist on Spotify. Can you give us something maybe from, you know, I was thinking if you can, what's something, you know, when the energy, you need to like get the energy level going, they, you know, things are kind of, I notice it happens in sporting events all the time. The energy's kind of, you know, starts to get a little bit low and you need to bring the crowd up, something like that.
Well, I'll be honest. I've had the blessing of working closely with some of the biggest artists in Canada. And I must say, I love Drake's music, you know, and Drake is so talented and pushing the envelope for global music that I must say I love everything he's doing. So, you know, there's some Drake songs that I could pull up that, you know, really, really get everyone going. And I just love everything he's doing. Every time he puts an album out, I'm just so excited to hear it and get it first and play it for everyone, you know, because it's guaranteed hits almost, you know. And even guys like Tiësto, you know, it's a guaranteed hit. When I'm going through my music every morning and I see Tiësto's name on a new track that came out, I'm drooling to hear it, so, because I know it's going to be fire. And, you know, there's a lot of great, there's so many great artists. I can't even really narrow it down too much. But like I said, I do trust it with the guys that have been doing it and the guys that keep doing it, the Tiestos, the Drakes, everyone else, you know.
Yeah, and Drake's in that, Drake, you and Drake basically work in the same building. So, you know, he's out of the Scotiabank Center a lot. So you could almost say he's a colleague.
Well, I, you know, I learn a lot from those guys and, you know, their work ethic and how they work and you know, the high standard of music required for even just our hanging out. You know, when I'm in my car, you know, my rule if anyone drives me, I'm running the aux in my car. These are my choices. You know, no one can talk on the phone while we're driving because we're listening to music and pumped up on the way to the club or on the way to the game. And, you know, my whole life is based around good music getting played wherever I'm at. And, you know, whether I'm at the game, in the club, or even in my studio, I'm always just listening to the best sounds, however I can, in all the genres.
Amazing. As it should be. As it should be. So, Kale, finally, if our listeners want to follow you or your work, where's the best place for them to go?
You can catch me on my social media handles, at Kale Granton, CaleGranton, my name. And yeah, you could get me on Instagram, Twitter. I'll be posting up some of my new releases coming up soon. Like I said, hopefully I can, you know, have my name on some records as the executive producer, and hopefully we'll hear those sounds coming through the airwaves in the future soon.
Cool. We'll put a couple of links to those in the show notes. And also, if you want to catch Kale, easy way to do that is to head to a Leaf game if you're in Toronto and listen to the sweet sounds of Kale Granton. Kale, thanks so much for being on Beat Seeker today. That was really cool.
Thanks, Kale.
Thanks so much for having me. Yeah, it's a pleasure for sure. Go Leafs, go.
You've been listening to Beat Seeker with your hosts, Matt McButter and Mike Wider. If you like the show, go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts and hit the subscribe button. While you're there, leave us a rating and a comment and share it with your friends and colleagues. If you want to dig deeper into this content, visit beatseeker.fm. That's BEATseeker.fm. Interact with us on social media at BeatSeekerPod. Beat Seeker is recorded in the Devil Lake Studios and the Tunnel Under Arundel. The show is produced by Matt McButter, Mike Wider, and Kate McCartney. Thanks for tuning in, and keep seeking.